This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. Wouldn't you agree? Rejection is tough. It can sting for a long time. This is episode 29 of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. So glad that you've joined us. We're going to go deeper into that topic a little bit today. As I'm recording this, it's summertime here, and I'm looking down. I'm wearing shorts, a t-shirt, and I notice I'm also wearing ankle socks, which if you listened to the podcast a few episodes ago, I kind of was lamenting the fact that ankle socks are now out of fashion because pretty much all I have are ankle socks. So I've got a whole drawer full of them, and I don't have that many, you know, mid-calf socks. So I have to get some more of those. But in the meantime, it is what it is, and I'm enjoying the summer weather. We're going to take a deeper dive into this topic today about rejection. And this whole idea of Unhurried, this podcast, is that we have time to really linger on some of these topics, go a little deeper into them. Some of the things that we talk about on Sunday morning at Green Valley Church, we can midweek sort of reflect on that and take a deeper look at these topics. Recently, I was driving down the road and I saw this license plate in our community. It said late and lost. It was L and then the numeral 8 N lost. Pretty clever, late and lost. If for some random reason that's your license plate out there and you're listening, I'd love to hear the story behind it. But I also thought that sort of captures really our community so much, is that, you know, we're so hurried and always feeling behind, and also, you know, we're feeling lost, we're feeling disconnected and not really anchored to that which is can center our life, that can be sort of the rock of our lives. And the Unhurried podcast, this time together, is meant to sort of center us on the cornerstone of our faith, Jesus Christ, and His Word and His truth, and to have some time to linger. So I picture you, you know, we're having a conversation together, maybe a cup of coffee, and kind of talking through this together. This week, our topic is, grows out of what I said on Sunday morning, one of the parables of Jesus. And in the middle of that parable, Jesus, he talks about the fact that that which was rejected has actually become the cornerstone of our faith. And in Matthew 21:42, he actually referenced an Old Testament passage in the Psalms when he said, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." And then he added the rest of that verse from the Old Testament, "The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes." And so suddenly we realize that Jesus' view of rejection is very different from our view of rejection, God's view of rejection, and so we probably need to look at that differently as well. Now, this has become very, very well illustrated in our home recently. I started my message on Sunday saying that I realize it's kind of a weird thing to say, and even a weirder way to begin my message, but I began with the words, "I really, really like our downstairs guest bathroom." And then I went on to explain that recently, actually a year ago, right around Thanksgiving time, a little less than a year ago, after years of waiting and planning and hoping and saving, we were able to remodel our kitchen. And we also figured that we'd get around to remodeling our downstairs guest bathroom as well sometime, but that was a project that still had to wait. We were going to focus on the kitchen. But while they were working on the kitchen, and we had these great builders that were there installing the cabinets and all of that, when they got to the kitchen sink, they actually installed the wrong, they began to install the wrong cabinet underneath it and realized it was a mistake. And so no problem. They ordered a new one and we were left with this extra cabinet that was just sitting in our garage for several months. The builders had rejected it. But then my wife had a great idea. She said, hey, I wonder if that cabinet would fit in our downstairs bathroom. And turned out it fit perfectly. And so I made this comment. I said the cabinet that the builders rejected had become the cornerstone of our guest bathroom. What was rejected was now kind of the centerpiece. Well, it got better than that too, because when we had the cabinet put in, we also realized that we would need some countertop in that bathroom. And so my wife reached out to the guys who had put the countertop in our kitchen and said, was there any material left over that you didn't use? It turns out there were a few leftover pieces, and turns out, you guessed it, there was a piece that was perfectly suited for the bathroom. It fit perfectly. It was something that was left over. It was just kind of discarded in their work area, in their factory or their workshop. It had been discarded. It had been rejected. And now it fit perfectly and looks beautiful in our downstairs bathroom. So now I say, when I look at our downstairs bathroom, I say, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Of course, quoting Jesus and what he said in Matthew as well. So what did Jesus mean when he said that? Well, he was referring to himself. He was referring to himself as that which was rejected by most of the people of the day, rejected in the most extreme way, where instead of being celebrated as God's Messiah, God's Son, he was crucified and rejected as a common criminal, though he had committed no violation. He had committed no sin. He had done nothing wrong. And he was completely rejected, but the stone that the builders rejected had become the cornerstone. In other words, the ultimate rejection of Jesus, his crucifixion, became the foundation of the church. And as that verse goes on to say, it's marvelous in our eyes. It's incredible. It's become the bedrock upon which our faith, the Christian faith, is built upon. In other words, think about it. We have a Savior who was rejected. And whenever we feel rejected, whenever we feel rejection in our own life, we have a sympathetic Savior, someone who understands and actually is modeled for us that that's not the end of the story. This was predicted in Isaiah 53:3. It predicts that the Messiah to come, it says this of him, it says, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, familiar with pain, like one who, from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Jesus came, and he was discarded by most people. Most people, even those who had been excited about his ministry over the years, most of them had fallen off at the end of his ministry. Even many of the disciples were hiding and in fear. And yet, it has become that which we celebrate most, Easter Sunday, that Jesus was crucified, but he defeated death and rose again. Again, the cornerstone of our faith. Now, there's a ancient story that the rabbis told about Solomon's temple being built. And the story goes like this. We don't know if if it's historically accurate, but it's a legend that was told among the rabbis back in Jesus' day, and that is that the stones for Solomon's temple were prepared off-site in a quarry, and this construction was meant to cut the stones perfectly for the building of the temple, and there was a plan in place where each of these stones would go, but according to this rabbinic tradition, that the stone that was originally cut to be the cornerstone of the building was rejected by the builders because it turned out to be kind of oddly shaped. But then when it came time for the temple to be finally all put together and the stones in place, it turned out that that stone fit perfectly, and the miscut ended up being what made it fit ideally. And so, as the legend goes, the stone that was rejected became the cornerstone. Now, whether that is actually how it played out or not, it was certainly a legend that was well known, and it became this perfect foreshadowing of Jesus's ministry, that he came and, though rejected, became the foundation and the centerpiece of our faith. And so we see this throughout Scripture, that this is not just what happened with the Messiah in the most dramatic and celebrated example in Scripture, that all along the way that this principle has been in place. Both Joseph and Moses in the Old Testament were rejected by the people, and yet they were used by God to be the redeemer for their people, even though they were misunderstood and at first rejected. Saul and David, think about that story. That when the people of Israel went to choose a king for themselves, they chose Saul. That's who they wanted, this celebrated individual who seemed to have everything that you would want in a king. David, on the other hand, wasn't even really considered because he didn't fit what they wanted in a king. But that was God's choice, and God elevated David rather than Saul in the process. If you think about the resurrection of Jesus, who were the first disciples to get to the tomb? It wasn't Peter, James, John. It was the women who in that culture would have been, underestimated and not fully appreciated, and yet they became the first witnesses of the resurrection, these women disciples who had followed Jesus in those early days. And I think all of us have those stories. I remember back when I was in high school, I was really involved in my high school campus, but there was this, I was far from God, and there was sort of this revival on my high school campus that I'll probably talk about sometime in a future podcast. But through that, I really came back to the Lord, and though I felt very engaged and sort of comfortable in the high school social settings that I was in, suddenly I didn't feel like I fit in as well in this Christian community. I didn't have a lot to offer. It was still so new to me. And I remember being at this retreat with a bunch of my high school friends, and the speaker just asked a question. He posed, there might be some out there that are preparing for ministry, that God is preparing you to serve Him. And would you all close your eyes? And if you'd like me to pray for you, you just, raise your hand or stand up. And I remember thinking, there are so many more in this room that are so much more qualified to do this than me. I felt like I would be rejected in that group, in that role. Although I fit in and so many other ways in high school, in that particular role, I didn't feel like I was well suited. And yet, I remember sensing God's tug upon my heart to serve Him in ministry. And I didn't think anybody else in the room would see it, but I sensed that God saw it in me. And I remember responding quietly, even though I had never said anything about it for a couple years after that. And so we feel that way too. We realize the way God works is so different than the way we work, and that which the world celebrates is not necessarily what God exalts. And so it gives us a new way to think about rejection, a new way to think about those times in our lives when we feel like the sting of rejection has disqualified us from serving God, being used by God, opportunities that God has for us, and to realize that historically throughout Scripture, that God has a bias for really lifting up those who are rejected, and Jesus becomes the chief example of this, the one who most represents this. In His rejection was ultimately the thing that we celebrate most. As I said it in the message, His rejection was actually his coronation. It was that which becomes that which we exalt in as believers. And so I want us to think about it this way. When you think about rejection in your own life, those areas that you feel like you're not seen in that role or others have discounted you, a rejection can, first of all, it can be God's protection. It can be his way of protecting you from certain things. And we see that over and over again in the Bible and in our lives, that God's using that to really protect us from things that if we knew where they would lead, if we knew where they would go, as God surely does, we would appreciate the fact that he closed a door on that. But the other thing to think is that rejection can also be God's projection. Being rejected by humans can be the way that he projects us into something that's going to be powerful and useful and beneficial in our lives as well. And so either way, we don't have to let the sting of rejection be the end of the story. We realize that God is using it in our lives, as he has with so many of his people in the past. He's using our lives in order for us to be protected or projected. And in the meantime, we build our lives upon the one who is called the cornerstone, the one who was rejected and then exalted. We build our lives wholly upon him. He becomes the foundation of our life, and then we're not shaken when disappointment and rejection comes our way. We don't have to be shaken because he becomes this stable, solid foundation for our lives. Well, I hope that's a helpful way for you to think about it. Again, this has been a deeper dive into the message that I gave on Sunday, and you can catch that as well on our sister podcast, the Green Valley Church podcast, where I go through this verse by verse, and I'll explain it in the context of the parable that Jesus told as well there. But this is sort of extra credit. This is for those that want to go a little deeper into it. Well, again, we cover things that I don't cover in the message. It's meant to also stand alone as well. And so I thank you for joining me. As always, you can reach out to me at through email at unhurriedpodcast@gmail.com. And I always appreciate hearing from you. Also, every Sunday, I get a chance to catch up with several of you. It seems like that. And we talk a little bit about some of the things that that are discussed here on this podcast. And I always enjoy that as well. Well, until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle. And I look forward to talking soon.